Welcome to Happy Hour with lawyer and TV personality Jonna Spilbor and author and inspirational speaker Carol Pesci. Happy Hour comes your way every Sunday morning at this time with life advice, real conversations, and awesome interviews with self-help heavy hitters, best-selling authors, celebrities, and more. Would you like to maybe live better, stress less, and laugh more? Then you've come to the right place.
With Jonna Spilbor and Carol Pesci and myself, this Frankenberry fella. And we have ourselves another brand new show this week. And we are going to be talking to Jennifer Barrett.
Yes, a little later on in the show, we're going to be talking to Jennifer Barrett. Now, she created something that I love this concept. She has created a series of helpful books / guides that she has called the Get Real About Blank series. And her most recent one is entitled Get Real About Thriving in 2025. So that is going to be the focus of our discussion with Jennifer later on today. But that's not the only Get Real book she has. And we're going to touch on all of them, but we're going to focus on how to thrive in 2025. And since we're just getting out of January, I think it's still appropriate. So that is coming up. But for now, a few weeks ago, I think we talked about it on the air. Maybe we talked about it off the air. But I was lamenting to myself, as I often do a little bit before every show. I'm like, what am I going to talk about today? Oh, yeah, that's right. And a few weeks ago, and when I said that to myself, turns out I locked myself out of my house barefoot in a snowstorm.
I remember that. Yes. And even just now I'm starting to realize or I didn't really understand that you took stock of your life every week before we start this show. How about that, Carol? Look at the effect that we have.
I know.
Well, wow.
I only do it like 3.5 minutes before we start recording, but still. So this week I actually said the same thing to myself. I said, what am I going to talk about for this week's show? And sure enough, I guess whenever I say that phrase out loud, the universe goes, I'll handle that. So I got to tell you, and hopefully this will come across as funny and / not funny as it was in real time. And by the way, it is still going on. So, okay. So you guys know how I have this ongoing dirt cat problem and that these dirt cat keep showing up at my house and I keep trying to rescue them and adopt them out, but I end up rescuing them and then I never adopt them out. That pretty much gets you up to speed, right?
Yeah, we're up to speed on that.
Yeah, we got that. I mean, some out there might call it hoarding, but that's neither here nor there.
Cat hoarding.
True. Yeah.
True. So, okay. So in the past, I have learned a lot about this process from start to finish, like, you know, and as insofar as trapping them and how difficult that can be and how difficult it can be to get them to a vet that's actually going to give them their shots and fix them all in one fell swoop because they're feral cats and they tend to act crazy. If you've never experienced a feral cat, or as I call them, my dirt cats, they're not like warm and cuddly. You don't just pick them up and go, oh, schnooka schnookums, I can't wait to take you home. They're like, you come with I'm going to scratch your eyes out. I'm going to scream in your ear. I'm going to climb the walls. I'm going to hang upside down. I'll probably kill myself and you in the process. That's how dirt cats act before they're acclimated to humanness. And it's almost like a traumatic experience for them. So I've learned a lot about this, having done this now, you know, a dozen times in the last year and a half. And so every time I'm called to do it again, I strive to come up with a new and improved way to make it happen. That's just my nature. That's what I try to do. And I'm failing, but I still try. So I have the newest dirt batch of cats, the newest, which they were six. But remember, like a couple months ago, I caught one who was faking a foot injury. And now there are five, and four of them show up regularly. And the fifth one shows up like every other day. And so this has been happening now that this group of 4/5 dirt cats, they come like clockwork for breakfast, and they come like clockwork for dinner. And on weekend, if I happen to be home, turns out they hang out all darn day. So at this stage in the process of trying not to traumatize them while I do my thing, I've been slowly acclimating them. Like, in other words, at first, when I fed them.
Allowing them in the house, a.k.a. Well, acclimate.
Yes. Or maybe we should call it cat-limate. Ha, ha, ha. Anyway, at first in this process, when I was trying to acclimate them, I would go outside with the food. They would run away. I'd put the food down. They'd come back. Then we moved the plates inside the house where they would eat a little bit. But if I moved a pinky, they would run outside the house because I have to keep the door open while we're acclimating. Then it got to a point where I could put the food inside the house, especially when it was really cold the last few weeks ago. And even if I moved a pinky, they would stay inside and finish whatever meal I was serving them. But I had to keep the sliding glass door open. If I didn't keep it open, they would freak out. Okay, so fast forward to last night. Last night, I have all four dirt cats in my house having dinner. And they stayed for the whole dinner. They ate. And then after dinner, these dirt cats, they were like, anybody got a after dinner drink or some catnip? Because we're going to hang around. We're going to hang around and we're going to play with the little toys you have. We're going to jump on the little house that you bought us for inside. We're going to have a little catnip. We're going to play with each other's tails. We're going to just have a grand old time inside your house. And they did.
You guys, did you close the door?
Well, when the time was right and they were distracted by themselves and the catnippy toys and having all the fun.
Oh, boy.
I slid the door shut. Now, it took about 45 seconds for one of them to realize that happened. And that cat alerted the rest of the cats. And all of the cats started screaming. Now, this wasn't This was a scream. This was like either I'm going to kill you or I don't know. I'm going to blow up your kitchen in the process. They just this low, weird scream. And then they started to run as if they were going to bash their heads and did bash their little heads into this closed sliding glass door because they were trying to get out. And then when they realized they couldn't get out there, they started running around and looking for the nearest exit, right? Like somebody just shot fire in a movie theater. All right. So now I know that I have to abort this mission. Okay. I get that. So I open the door. Two of the four cats go running out. They're like, see ya, wouldn't want to be ya. And they just hightail it out of there. Okay. That's fine. The third cat, who I affectionately call Frenchie because he's got a little tiny white tip at the end of his black tail, so like a French manicure. That's why I named him that way. And I don't know if he's a male.
Frank and Barry.
Sorry. I just assumed you were going to say Frenchie because maybe he had a little black stripe under his nose and it looked like a mustache. But no, of course, the end of his tail looked like a French manicure. My bad.
Yes, you're bad. So Frenchie now is 6 inches from the open door, sitting atop a cat house that I brought in from the outside because he likes to sit there. And he's looking at me and he's screaming while the door is open 6 inches from his little whiskered face. So I say to him, I say, Frenchie, the door's open. You don't have to scream at me. Go, fly, be free. He finally figures it out and he leaves. The fourth cat, who I have named Juno, had taken off and gone up the stairs instead of running out the door.
Oh, when I opened. No. Oh, no.
Now, hold on. I am smarter than I look because I was planning this whole fiasco the whole time. So I made sure that upstairs, my bedroom door was closed. The cat suite door was closed. So the only place that any animal could roam upstairs is in my loft, which is very open and small. There's no place to hide. So Juno goes hightailing it up the stairs. Everybody else leaves. I go up the stairs and I'm yelling, Juno, Juno, door's open. You can leave, blah, blah, blah. I look all around in every nook and cranny and Juno is nowhere to be found. So I figure, you know, these cats are fast. And one time when I was doing this exercise previously, one of them literally jumped from the loft to the kitchen below, which is, you know, 12 feet, and then scurried out. So I figured, Whoa. Juno, yeah, I figured Juno just, you know, made a break for it when I wasn't looking. That's really not unusual. Okay, fine. So now they all leave and they're all mad at me. And I you know, but I'm happy because they ate a good meal and they played. So, all right, they're going to go be dirt cats. and I shut the door and I go about my business. I went and played with my inside dirt cats. I had some work to do. So I was downstairs in the kitchen doing some work on the computer. And then I was watching a little TV. And then I decided to go to bed, you know, fairly early. And I go to bed and I'm snoozing. I'm in a beautiful little slumber when right around midnight, I am awoken, awakened. Is it awakened or awakened? I woke up by the sound of a screeching cat, not outside, not in my cat suite, somewhere in my house.
Oh, no.
You see?
It's Frankenberry. That's an evil laugh.
You know what? It's kind of like, you know, the mom and dad when they see what happens to their teenage kid and they just start laughing.
We knew like I could have predicted that. Yeah.
We saw it.
You saw it coming?
Yeah.
So Juno never did leave the building. After all of that, after I never left the building, was quiet as a little mouse, found a place to hide that I could not see, apparently, and decided to make him or herself known at around midnight, where I did find Juno tucked in behind the couch, smushed in behind one of the couches. And now I'm like, okay, so now it's midnight. I get up. I'm like, I got to fix this. I go downstairs. I unset the alarm. I open the sliding glass door. I'm like, Juno, you have to leave now. Now, granted, these cats can't wait to get out of the house. Juno doesn't move. Now, he or she is not hurt, just not moving. Now I'm up for 2 hours, guys. Oh, midnight to 2 a.m. Treats, churros, food,
whipped cream. Churros. Oh, you're a cat. I'm sure you're going to love the cinnamon sugar.
And this cat will not move. He or she got a little bit excited at some of the food and came out from behind the couch, but just sat staring at me on the stairs, looking at me. The door's open. This morning, so I finally, I'm like, forget it. It's 2 o'clock in the morning. The cat won't leave the house. I go back to bed. I get up at 4, which was my intended time to get up. The other litter mates, like clockwork, are outside waiting for breakfast. Okay, so now here I am, like Groundhog Day. I open the sliding glass door. The other cats come in. I feed them their breakfast. Juno starts screaming bloody murder from the loft. And her litter mates, or his litter mates, don't even look up from their, you know, temptation treats or blue buffalo, whatever they were eating this morning. Don't even look up. Screaming. They're like, eh. We're hungry. The cat still didn't come down. The cat knows its litter mates are downstairs. The cat would not leave.
Oh, no.
I had to leave my house this morning.
With that one loose?
Loose in my house like a moose. Yes.
Did you at least put a litter box in the same room with him?
Yes, I had to do that. I put a litter box.
Good.
Some food. I put some water.
But it's not contained in a room, right?
No, my couch is probably going to be shredded to smithereens by the time I get. But what was I going to do? Chase it out with a broom and traumatize it even more?
Oh, my God.
I know. I have a wild dirt cat roaming my house as we speak, who had ample opportunity to leave and wouldn't. Like, well, this is a new one.
You know what, Jonna? This is the only way you can look at it. You can actually look at it with some anticipation. This will be fun. It's something new to walk into. You know, I was doing a football game years ago and I got a text that said, you have a new girl. And I texted back with a question mark. And then I got a response that said, Mimi snuck up the stairs behind me when I went to feed your cats. And she decided she liked the quiet of Uncle Steve's apartment. So I did the rest of the football game. I drove all the way home from Albany, and I said to myself, well, at least I have something new and exciting to look forward to see how Mimi's getting along with Bella and Cricket.
Wow.
So there you go. See, now you get to spend the day at work, or you get to think about what's Juno been getting up to. This could be fun. I'll have my phone with me to take pictures.
I don't get this is why. And I reached out to him many moons ago, and I'm going to do it again. I tried to get Cat Daddy, Jackson Galaxy,
yes,
on this show, because I just have questions.
We all do.
Yes.
I mean, what would stop a cat who can't wait to get out of a house from physically moving its body and getting out of the house, given the ample opportunity to do so? I don't get it. I really don't.
Well, and the risk of moving was bigger than
exactly
the benefit of getting out.
Well, I did get to pet it a little bit. Well,
you did?
There you go. See, look at that. Now this is
did
all
you really?
Into, yeah, that's great.
Yep. She let me hear. I don't know. I think it's a he, but I'm not sure. Let me pet it when it wasn't even smushed behind the couch or smushed between my desk and the wall. It was kind of just sitting kind of perched on the loft where I could easily touch it. And so I just started to pet him, you know, like on his back, and he didn't move. His ears didn't go back. He just let me do it. And I didn't go crazy. I just did it a few times and then I left.
Well,
and that was that.
Maybe Juno is starting to consider the pros and cons of going out the door or staying inside.
Right.
See, and that's what I wonder, because look, cats are not like dogs and feral cats are not like inside cats. And I wonder what, that's why I want Jackson Galaxy here. Like, what do they think? Scientists must have studied this at some point, don't you think? I mean, with the number of feral cats there are all over the place, that they must know. And if you can figure out what a cat is thinking, you can outsmart it. See, but I don't know what they're thinking, so I can't outsmart it. That's my problem.
I think Jackson would know.
Yes. And did you ever think about not trying to outsmart it, but just trying to get along with it?
No, I gotta be smarter than a feral cat.
There's your next book.
Yeah, exactly. Buy All the Desserts, followed by her second book, Smarter Than a Feral Cat.
Yes. Because now here's the thing, like, should I feel guilty if the cat finally does leave? And if the cat finally does leave, will it ever come back? Right? Like, are they like, oh no, danger, danger, danger.
And what do you, so what number cat is this one that's loose in your house right now?
Nine.
Oh, if you're just counting the ones inside, nine.
Yes.
Yeah, nine. That's what I said. Number nine. Yes.
Shh, don't tell anybody.
What if it doesn't go back out the door? What are you going to do?
Oh, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? This is absolutely insane. Because I can't, like, it just, you know, I already have like five too many, you know. Although, I mean, they're happy. Don't get me wrong.
Frankenberry, which means four is perfectly acceptable to her.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, there are four of all the bunch. There's four that I really, really like. And then there's a few.
Three original white ones.
Yes.
And then who's the fourth? Quinn? The murderer?
No. She's nasty. Elvis.
Elvis. Okay. So Elvis and the three white ones.
Yeah. And the newest one, Tiny, he's got a little place in my heart too.
Tiny's so not fun. Inside yet though, right? Frankenberry, I'm losing track.
I know. And plus, she just went from three is acceptable to now being okay with five. So I'm losing track too.
Well, look at it this way. Here's the thing. I will have something else to talk about next week, because I will take photos of the condition of my house when I get home, having left a dirt cat alone inside. Because it's probably going to be a lot like leaving a raccoon inside unsupervised. Mm-hmm. Is my guess.
I think you'll be fine.
You think so?
I think so, yes.
I don't. I think she's got to get real about figuring out a solution to this.
Oh, I was waiting for it. You guys took way too long to get to that segue today. Holy cow.
That was good. I was wondering when you were going to get there, but okay. On that note, when we come back from this break, we are going to be speaking with author and coach Jennifer Barrett about her series of books, one in particular entitled Get Real About Thriving in 2025. She's got others in this series. It's I just love the concept, and I'm sure we're going to love speaking with Jennifer Barrett when we come back.
All right, that is what we got, along with Jonas Spilborg, Carol Pesci, and myself. So please stick around. Segment number two with Jennifer Barrett is on the way.
Sunday mornings with 92.9 WBPM means you'll laugh more and stress less. Now here's more Happy Hour with Jonna and Carol.
And welcome back, everyone, to Happy Hour. Jonna Spilborg, Carol Pesci, it is myself, Frankenberry, and we've got our guest for today, Jennifer Barrett. And Jonna, please tell us what we're looking at. Tell us what to expect.
All right. So before I introduce today's guest, I just want to say that every once in a while, we bring a guest on the show, and halfway through the interview, either Carol or me or both will go, "Oh my God, you're going to be our new BFF." I'm going to predict it before a single word comes out of our guest's mouth. Okay. So just remember that I said that, because
you're about to get stalked. Be prepared.
Yeah. On the air with us today is Jennifer Barrett. Now I'm going to read her bio because I find it incredibly interesting, but I just want to also preface it by saying she is in the process of creating a series of self-help books, one of which we're going to be talking about today, specifically Get Real About Thriving in 2025. But let me tell you a little something about Jennifer. She is the vice president of transmedia entertainment, and she's more than just a writer. She's a world builder, shaping stories that leap from page to screen. I like that visual. Creating experiences that captivate across platforms. Now with her Get Real About series, she's turning her talents to self-help, offering practical tools and heartfelt advice to tackle life's twists and turns, because life is full of them, as we all know. Under the banner of Get Real About Books, Jennifer's mission is clear: to empower people with no-nonsense resources that inspire meaningful change. Whether it's a journal, a planner, or a book brimming with actionable insights, Jennifer's creations are designed to help real people find real solutions and maybe even a bit of magic along the way. I freaking love that. Jennifer Barrett, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you so much. And thank you for that dynamic intro.
Well, and normally we do little shorter intros, but this one was perfectly written. I mean, absolutely.
Thank you.
Yes. And also, Jonna sometimes wears a top hat so she can get a little over the top. So nicely done.
No, I really do love this. And I absolutely love this concept about having a series of books. But first, I simply have to ask you, you know, one of the things that, and we've talked about this on the show a few times, we love book titles. We love catchy book titles. My co-host Carol has a number of catchy book titles.
Mm-hmm.
Get Real and the whole Get Real series. Can you just give us like add the backstory? Because to me, that's a very catchy title.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. So actually, it all started about, gosh, what was it, 4 or 5 years ago, really during the pandemic. And I don't even know. I was just speaking with friends about the pandemic, and there was people losing grandparents. And it actually started with Get Real About Grief. And and it just kind of evolved into literally a brand over the last, you know, 4 or 5 years.
So the fact, you know, Get Real to me is very, I like it because it speaks to me and says that you're going to provide kind of no nonsense, every day in your face sort of advice. And is that where you came from? Are you kind of?
No, absolutely. Yeah. And it's, you know, being authentic, being honest. I'm in my 50s now. I'm not trying to put on a front. I'm, you know, let's just be authentic. Let's be real.
Yeah. And I think people resonate with that. Although I will say this, I never reveal how old I am. I literally don't. Sometimes this stupid.
Let's clarify. It's not just not reveal. She lies.
I do. I totally lie.
Good point.
And somehow,
thank you.
Somehow, some way, this stupid company called AARP put me on their freaking mailing list. They put me on their mailing list and they send me crap. And I used to take it out of the mailbox, go to a shredder, tape myself shredding it, and send it to Carol and our other good friend, Jeannie. Then I'm
Jennifer, like, that's a true story. The first piece of mail she ever got from AARP. I get a text with a video with no. She didn't write anything. She just sent the video, and it was her holding the AARP envelope addressed to her and then feeding in a shredder, and that was the end of the video.
I love that. That is great.
Oh, you mean you're telling me that you haven't tried to take advantage of all of the discounts?
That's what I'm telling you. And now, Jennifer,
she'd rather pay more.
I'm so lazy that when they send me crap, which I wish they would stop doing, I just take it from the mailbox, and I take 5 steps into my outside garbage cans, and I just toss it
and just dump it.
Just toss it. But to me, that is also being real. So, okay. So
exactly.
Getting real about thriving in 2025. I will say this is what, and I have been listening to the book. We need to, right? Like we forget that life isn't just about survival. thriving. It really is about thriving. Like, we've blurred the line between, we think surviving is good. You know, if we're upright, we have a job, we're paying the bills. Oh, that's great. But it actually is more than that. Isn't it?
Absolutely. Oh, absolutely. No. And again, it's, you know, living authentically, not getting caught up in the negativity, which is, you know, it's so easy to do with social media and news. And that really was the motivation for, you know, kind of almost like therapy for myself as I was writing the book. You know, let's make this a good year.
Right. And we should make every year a good year. And yeah. And I think the complacency, this is one of the things that I like about the series, the title and the idea, is that the complacency, when it becomes too comfortable, you forget that, like, there are whole other layers to life that people should strive for. I mean, how many people do you know? I know a lot. None here, but people who get up every day and they're like, I don't want to go to work today. You know, there's a reason why Mondays have the most absenteeism. But so it's a big topic. How do we chunk down when you talk about getting real about thriving in 2025? There's a lot of stuff that can go in there. So,
absolutely.
Organize it.
It could have been an enormous book. I tried to keep it kind of short and sweet. You know, it's like 23,000 words, 100 and something pages. You know, it's a small bite-sized manual for silencing the noise. You know, being real and kind of shifting your mindset to make it a good year, so you don't wake up on Monday and go, ugh, I don't want to go to work.
Yeah, no, I know exactly. So, where do people, or let's start here. Who is this book for? In other words, like, we were talking in an earlier interview, like, most people don't wake up in the morning and go, oh, I'm so happy. How do I get even happier? Right. So is it for the person who just is feeling that level of discomfort? Is it for the person who's had some sort of catastrophe? Who's best for this?
No, it's actually really, it's interesting. And I have ran into quite a few people and, you know, been reached out to by very successful people, people that surprise me, you know, that look like they have it all. And they're like, I really needed this book. This is the book. What I've heard a lot is, this is the book I didn't know I needed to read. You know, so it's not just for people down and out. It's for us successful, fun people that try to live authentically and be our best selves, but we just need a little pick me up. You know, I actually listened to the audiobook myself, a couple weeks ago. And I was like, man, if, you know, I wrote this, but it's not my voice. And it's, right. I actually really enjoyed it myself as a little pick me up, as little reminders, little bite-sized reminders.
Jennifer, this is Carol. I've not yet read your book. I'm quite interested in doing so. What's the process? Are there certain steps that you suggest to people? Like, where do you begin if you feel like you're not thriving? And I'm ready for that. I'm ready for that word. Maybe we have a good friend who picks a word of the year every year. That's your word.
Exactly.
I want to thrive. I don't want to just survive. What's something concrete and specific? Where can somebody begin the process of shifting their life into thriving versus surviving?
So, I mean, I have A couple chapters. One is on humor. I have a chapter on creativity. I'm also an artist and a painter. I think people think that only artists can be creative, you know, with your mindset. I think humor and friends, you know, surrounding yourself with true, authentic people who are actually championing you, you know, not just people like B-level friends, but like real, real friends. Like the three of us, we're now best friends.
We are.
Or sorry.
Well, and I think, and that's, you know, that's timely advice too, because, you know, we're coming off finally, thankfully, on the heels of an unprecedented amount of isolation. And we're getting back out there again. And maybe there's people that have limited their exposure. Other people just got into a rut, if you will. Mm-hmm. Not that I'm describing myself at all, of not going out, not connecting with people,
exactly.
but importance of good, solid relationships and fostering those for your own mental health and for thriving.
Exactly. No, absolutely. I think, and it's mindset, you know, we're all evolving, our lives change. My 16-year-old just got her driver's license and now she's running around and I never see her. And, you know, that's a whole shift in my life. I no longer have to drive a kid around. You know, it's mindset, it's change, it's evolving, you know, with what's happening in your life. And I think, you know, embracing that change to live your best life is kind of what it's about.
Can I tell you something I did the other day? Actually, not just the other day. I've been doing it maybe for the last week or two, and I'm not sure if it's a healthy mindset or not. But I have been saying to myself, not that I'm not happy. Don't get me wrong. I'm happy. But, you know, just like probably all of us, maybe we all think we could be happier. There are certain things that we still want to accomplish. But when I just got down to like, what makes me happy? I said to myself, when was I in recent years? When was I the happiest? And what was I doing that made me feel that way? And
probably hanging out with me.
Well, of course, that goes without say. But it actually like harkened back to a pre-pandemic time when, you know, business was booming and I could spend a lot of time. Like, I'm a foodie. I love going to the city and having dinner and talking with friends and just having a good time. And I know that sounds like mindless. I, you know, I'm not Elon Musk or I'm creating rocket ships. I just like talking to people and, you know, having a nice glass of wine. And I used to do more of that pre-pandemic. I do some less of that now for a million reasons. But I'm like, well, wait a minute. Maybe it's just as easy as doing that sort of thing a little bit more than I'm doing it currently, but maybe not as much as I was doing it before. Like, is that
exactly
stupid? Is that
no, you know, and I actually had a similar thing, a similar thought process recently. I was thinking about, gosh, what, you know, as we get older, we have more stress and what made me really happy years and years ago. I got a new camera. I was really into photography and I just remember the joy, pure joy that I had with that camera. You know, and I think it's easy to lose the joy in the simple things, you know, like food.
And you know what, Jennifer? I also think that we largely measure ourselves on what we accomplish or what we think we should accomplish or accomplish compared to others and neglect the importance of enjoyment, guilt-free enjoyment. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. We feel like, well, if I'm like Jonna was just talking last week about is she procrastinating? If she takes a few minutes to pause and pet her cats in the morning and enjoy their company, I'm like, absolutely not. So I think getting ourselves used to the idea and accepting that our joy, our enjoyment of life has extreme value, and to do things that bring that out in us without the guilt of thinking that we're better off accomplishing or doing.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. That's especially with our pets.
Well, oh, yeah. Word.
And part of the reason why I don't get to do as much city hopping and restaurant hopping is because I've acquired a few pets. But you just reminded me of something else. I just, for our listeners, and maybe even a little bit for me, would you mind giving us the definition of authenticity? Because I throw that word around a lot. I think I know what it means. But there are people who probably don't understand what we're talking about when we say living your authentic life or being your authentic self. Like how does your book define?
Well, I mean, I think that's really where the title of the whole series came from is, you know, just get real with yourself. You know, this is who you are and coming to terms with who you are. You know, you're not trying to please your parents. You're not trying to, you know, please your neighbor. You're just, this is who I am. I also have a chapter on saying no, because I think a lot of us try to appease everybody by saying yes to everybody. You know, the Shonda Rhimes had that wonderful book, which I loved, you know, Say Yes to Everything, The Year of Yes. And I have a whole chapter on saying no, because I think as we get older too, we want to be more ourselves. And maybe that means saying no and doing what we want with our lives.
And setting that boundary. I like the power. I like the power of no. I will take it one step further. I've gotten better at saying no. Guilt-free no, because that's it. If you say no and you feel guilty, it's like,
exactly. Oh. Yeah, I call it the graceful, you know, the graceful no.
Ooh, I like that.
With like no, and no apologies. You don't need to apologize. Just, you know, no.
Just no. Excuse. Like I used to think of a million excuses if I had to say no. Now I'm just no. Or here's my other one. If it's not a situation where I have a relationship with you, really, and you're asking me for something and we don't really have a relationship, like, so let's use like a salesperson, for example, or somebody maybe on the periphery who emails me, I'll even ignore. Like, that's my new no. Like, no,
that's a new no.
I'm not even going to buy a plane now. And absolutely. I don't feel bad about that either. There's power in silence sometimes. And sometimes, sometimes I'm sending a message by ignoring you. And sometimes I just don't got the time and I ain't going to do it. Now I feel guilty saying that, but it's true.
No, I'm right there with you.
But and maybe that's living my authentic self. I want to talk about, you have a few other ideas in the, and more than ideas, they're coming to fruition in your Get Real series. And I think you said the first one you were working on was Get Real About Grief. And can I ask, are these all based like on personal experience, or how did that one come about? And
Get Real About Grief was actually the first, it's really where the whole Get Real brand started during quarantine. I had ran across a friend whose grandmother had passed away, her mother-in-law, her daughter's grandmother had passed away from COVID. And then I was talking to a friend who had lost one of her twins in childbirth. And, you know, I just was coming across these stories of grief. So no, I personally have not experienced, you know, a crazy amount of grief in my life. I was divorced about 20 years ago. That was, you know, a big grieving what I thought was going to be a long marriage. So really this book has evolved to not just grieving the loss of a human, but grieving, you know, I have a chapter on pet loss, a chapter on divorce, a chapter on obviously losing a parent, which thankfully I have yet to do. So what I've been doing is gathering stories from people. So it's more of the real stories from real people.
I like that. Comforting. It's comforting when people are going through that, right? So people are going through grief, they're going through a divorce, which is also one of your future titles. People do look to other people who have had similar experiences, I think, because it does provide a source of comfort. And I could just like one story. So I'm an attorney and I handle a whole lot of divorce. No two divorces are alike.
I'm actually married to a divorce attorney. So I'm...
Oh, girl.
We could totally talk.
But I have like, you know, for example, very recently I was talking to a woman and what we're finding, this is just a little sidebar, been finding a lot of people who have been married a long time wanting to get divorced. And we call that quote unquote gray divorce. I don't love that name. But that's the term of art these days. And I'm speaking to a woman who's married for almost 50 years to her husband. She clearly loves him. I mean, she's in tears. She's talking about the problems in the relationship. She clearly loves him. I can see that, because if you don't love somebody, you're not crying about you know. And so, but she went on her own and she went and she got an order of protection so that he would not be allowed in the house. Now that happens, and there's a million reasons. I'm not going to divulge any of these reasons. But at the same time, when I asked her what she wanted, she's like, I want him to communicate with me better. I want him to talk to me more. I want him to talk to me nicer. And I said to her, let's just say her name was Samantha. I said, Samantha, what you want is to better communication with your husband. And what you went and got was a piece of paper that says he's not allowed to talk to you at all. Why did you, you know, do you see the problem there? And it was like a light bulb went off, because people don't know how to navigate to get what they want when they're going through something foreign. And that was, and then I saw this title, you know, in your media kit. And I'm like, I'm going to have to order a bunch of copies and give them.
That would be great.
Carol's books, I've given them out because they are that helpful. So again, I love this
story. And I'm gathering real stories from real people for that as well, you know, for the divorce book and the grief book, because it is, everybody has a different perspective and a different story. So
I think it's so helpful, because when you are going through something extremely difficult like a divorce or a loss of someone, it's very, very lonely. You are so alone in your pain. Typically, you don't think anybody's ever hurt as much as you. Right. And I think it eases that when you connect with other people who are not the same thing, but similar. Pain is pain, and realize you're not alone in that. And that's very helpful.
Yeah, I have somebody recently submitted a story on, I wasn't going to have a chapter in the Get Real About Grief on suicide. I've had two people submit, you know, their personal stories on suicide. And I'm trying to weave that in, maybe put it at the back of the book, you know, because it happens. It's very, very difficult to talk about. And so I'm incorporating. Yeah. So the Get Real About Grief is really growing. It's actually going to be a little larger than Get Real About Thriving. But I think it's going
to
be.
When do you expect your Get Real About Divorce and Get Real About Grief to come out?
So Decluttering is another book. I'm actually writing that with my childhood best friend, who's a professional organizer. And so I have all three of those kind of in the editing process. I think we'll probably do Get Real About Divorce, then Declutter, and then Grief. I'm hoping, you know, in the next 6 months, I should be able to get all three of those out.
Well, I can definitely share some Get Real About Divorce stories. And
we'll have to talk offline here.
Yeah, we can do that, because I do think this will be really helpful. You know, people like to see people with, not that misery loves company, but sometimes other people's misery can help comfort. And I think that's the goal, right? Yep. If you're going to go through something, help other people go through it, why the hell not?
Exactly.
I think that's great. And so we have been talking with Jennifer Barrett. I love the creator of the Get Real series of books. Now, people can find you if they want to transform, especially Get Real About Thriving in 2025. Because if you're feeling like, you know, I'm here and I want to be up here, I think that's a great place to start. Where can they find out more about you, get the book, connect with you? What's the best way to do that, Jennifer?
So they can, really everything is under Get Real, Get Real About Book. I have a little store, getrealaboutbooks.store. You can get the book on Amazon. It's on Audible now. The audiobook just came out, and it's a great listen. I have a wonderful narrator with a wonderful voice. You can get it at Barnes and Noble. It's just starting to hit stores, but you can order it through stores.
I ordered my audiobook. She's got a good, I listen to all my books on Audible, and she does. She's got a great voice. And
isn't she good? Yeah, I don't have a great voice, so I was very excited to find her.
Well, you do, and people who do it, you know, read the audiobooks for a living. They know what
they're doing.
But getrealaboutbooks.store is really the hub for all of this. And Jennifer Barrett, I wish you much, much luck, because I'm totally digging this series, and I will happily provide any information on any of them that I can, because we've all been through it. Decluttering is probably my least favorite, because the way I declutter is I'm like, I call somebody, how much do you charge to declutter me? Thank you for decluttering me. Now I'm happy until I clutter it all up again. That's basically the extent of my knowledge.
But Jonna, your decluttering provides, it's a public service, Jonna.
It is.
Because eventually all the stuff that you buy that still has tags on it ends up at Goodwill, and people are happy. And you've done a good deed.
Great. Yeah.
That's a really good deed.
As a matter of fact, and I should say, although I am sponsoring a Jimmy Choo giveaway on this very radio station, Frank and Barry, me, Jimmy Choo, not mine. I ain't giving mine away.
No, it's very exciting. I wasn't aware of that. Hold on. Tell me when to listen.
You know what? They don't come in size 12, so you're lucky. Don't worry about it.
Oh, anyway, damn. And I had the candles and everything set up for a Saturday night, too.
God, could you imagine? Jennifer Baird, don't pay any attention to Frank and Barry, to the man behind the curtain, but we really appreciate talking to
thank you. Thank
you. Yeah, well, thank you so much for having me on, you guys. I really appreciate you reaching out.
Get Real About Thriving in 2025 is out now, so get it. Thank you, Jennifer. We appreciate it.
All right. Thank you. Have a great one.
Thank you very much, Jennifer. And John, I'm surprised you just didn't end it with, so get it and get real. Come on now.
I think she was trying.
She was. I think she's slipping a little bit.
What do I want to say? Never mind. I'll stop.
All right. So anyway, Jennifer, thank you very much for joining us today. And we are not done with Happy Hour just yet. So we have segment number 3 on the way with Jonna Spilborn, Carol Pesci, and this fella. So please come back with us then.
Sunday mornings with 92.9 WBPM means you'll laugh more and stress less. Now here's more Happy Hour with Jonna and Carol.
Hello, one more time, everyone, and welcome back to Happy Hour. Jonna Spilbore and Carol Pesci. Hello, ladies.
Hello, Frankenberry.
Oh my God, wow. You not only are you not on page, you're in like different books. All right, so anyway, Jennifer
Jonna
Barrett.
Had quite a delay there.
She did. She did. It was probably one of those 17 cats in her house distracting her. So Jennifer Barrett, was nice to talk to her today.
Oh, you know, I absolutely love this concept and of the whole get real about, you know, XYZ. And in particular, we talked to her about thriving in 2025. And I just, we have to remind ourselves, I think, especially right now, entering a new year, a lot of things are coming in new, and it's not, we shouldn't get content with being content. And that's what this particular book is about getting real, like getting real about being happy, getting real about doing what you want, getting real about being your real self. And we can use that reminder. And so this is a good opportunity to do that with Jennifer.
I agree. I wonder, are you going to contribute to her get real about divorce that she's got coming up?
Which is, you know, I'm a little bit jealous. I'm a little bit jealous that she's got that as the title, because I can't, you know, and it's so funny. I mean, I've got a million stories, but as an attorney, I can't, yeah, obviously I can't talk real names or anything like that, but I've got a lot of stories that would help a lot of people avoid some of the same pitfalls. And I think not only can I help her with that book, but I could do like at least a couple of chapters, not just a couple of snippets. So, yeah. So we'll get together with Jennifer. I often want to do that, you guys. Like we hardly do. But when and Jennifer actually isn't one of them because she's all the way on the West Coast. But when we have guests that are in New York, we should do better about maybe maintaining some contact with them after the show, because, you know, we've had a lot of amazing guests, some of them based right here in the New York area.
And some of whom you have definitely decided to stalk. So that can happen.
Exactly.
Yeah. Maybe that's one of the ways that we will get real about thriving in 2025 by stalking a little bit better and a little bit more often.
Okay. I'm up for it.
Well, there you go. There's a plan for 2025. Get better at stalking. All right. Well, listen, for Jonna Spilbore, for Carol Pesci, for myself, and also for Jennifer Barrett, who joined us earlier today, thank you all. And we will return again next week with more from Happy Hour right here.
Wait.
What am I waiting for? What did I forget this time?
I forgot something.
Oh, okay.
I forgot something that by the time this show airs, we will have missed Mama Chewy's birthday, which will have been yesterday when this show aired. So I want to give a shout out, a happy birthday shout out
to
one of our original cast members.
All right, yes. And thank you, Jonna, for being the fourth adopted daughter, for remembering that.
That's right.
not the third real one. All right, so do that again?
No, that's good right there. We're all set. Oh. We just said happy birthday to Mama Chewy.
Oh, so, okay.
There you go. Happy birthday indeed. Love from all of us.
Yes.
This has been Happy Hour. Thanks for joining.
You've been listening to Happy Hour with Jonna Spilbore and Carol Pesci. If you missed last weekend's show or want to hear it again, visit the Happy Hour page at 92.9WBPM.com. There's more life advice, real conversation, and another awesome interview next Sunday morning at 8 a.m. Live better, stress less, and laugh more with Happy Hour on 92.9 WBPM. Yeah.